Blog Talk Radio.
They're still playing. Beagle and Richards again. Beagle hand passed it across, but it's grabbed by Callahan and a shot deflected up high to the high glass behind. Led along now to Gavry. Hands it on back to Girardi. Gets it across Delzato. His shot blocked the side. But now moving to the front by Callahan. Pumped in! With 6.6 to go!
Covered by the uniform, as you saw with both of those men. Walked on now, solid shot.
Thing we got there. There's some TVs right there, and
You know, it's a really cool thing. I got to give kudos to MSG. And I get there, and it's like I have a really good section, but I had this really crazy guy. Now, when I say crazy, you know, yeah. I met these guys, Brian and Rich. And this guy, Brian, I mean, he's like 6 foot one, got to be like 350, 375. And he's like so jacked up for this game, Jim. He's like, yo, bro, I got to tell you something right now. This is the first time as I'm sitting in my seat. He goes, Cherry Garcia, between the second and third periods, I'm buying the whole section. I'm like, well, yeah, okay, you know, whatever, you know, hey, I'm Ed, you know, let's go Rangers. And he's like, no, dude, kid, listen, Cherry Garcia, kid, I already got it set up, I got everything, I told him, kid, bro, Cherry Garcia. I said, all right, okay. He's like, yeah, where you from, kid? What's going on, bro? He's like making it real personal right away. Great guy. Drunk off his ass before the game even started. He's sitting with a guy who's been following the Rangers, a guy named Rich, since 1966. This guy is the more straight and narrow of the two. So we get to talking this and that. The game starts. Crowd is freaking amped. I mean, it was like nothing I've experienced in a game opening. I mean, you know, and I'll get to some of the prodding of MSG with their. But anyway, the towels, yeah, blah, blah, blah. Do your thing. Everybody's all, and then Stroman scores, the crowd is, I mean, it's. And then. Brooks Like scores, it's 1-1, and then the crowd immediately is taken out of the game. It's almost like that we're waiting for something even worse to happen. Now, I'm not like that, but the culture of the Ranger fan, I'm not going to, again, this was a tremendous victory by the Rangers, and I'm not going to critique, but we are just so full of losing that we think the worst. So when they go down 2-1, and they really don't know who to blame because really all the refs made some bad calls in the game, they really weren't detrimental to the Rangers being down 2-1. So for the entire third period, I'm hearing the whole gambit of Ranger excuses. Fucking foul play, Mike Sullivan's a joke, we should have got Rick Nash, this and that, here we go again. So it's like the other game I was at, right? It was, we should have gotten Vinny Prosper back, we shouldn't let him go, the whole thing. And then, with like 2 minutes left, they pull the goaltender, and I'm like, yeah, like that's going to matter, right? And your boy Girardi's out there. And I'm yelling, why? and people, I go, why is Girardi out there? And the guy goes, yeah, why is he out there? And like the whole section is getting into the whole thing. And then,
see, I love it. We
Joel
turn people
Ward.
On to our thinking.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I was going with all the bits. I was going with that chance sucks with the Potvin, anti-Potvin sucks, and stink pickle. Patrick kept yelling, Joe Negative kept yelling, stink pickle every time he got the puck. People were laughing at that. Why is John Mitchell on this power play? Come on, Joni Mitchell. Ah, they were getting into it.
You were like Carrot Top. You pulled everything out of the bag.
I was yelling. Even in the section, guys, I'm yelling, hey, I need you to focus here. Get off your Blackberries. I'm yelling. And this guy in section 323, who apparently some kind of technophile, he's a wise ass. He goes, Blackberries? Why didn't you just tell us to put away our beepers? Like, that's pretty good. Apparently, the Blackberry is out of vogue.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I was just 323. They're technologically advanced. The hoity-toity over there. I said, I'm ad-libbing over here. I don't have no script.
Highfalutin.
Yeah. So he starts laughing. He goes, what?
No, I was just gonna say, here's a little tip for you. BlackBerry's out. Next time, just say iPhone.
Yeah. Well, then I said, hey, okay, yeah, iTouch, iPad, iPhone, whatever. All right, you sounded fine. He goes, wait a minute, I'm on my rotary phone. I can't hear you.
I love it.
I loved. But the fans started getting ugly, and as that third period, and they squandering power plays. And just not, there wasn't a person in that building that thought the Rangers were going to come back. Even the dude, yo, bro, yo, kid, he was the most positive guy in the world. He was like, dude, we're dominating. I don't understand how we're not winning. I'm like, are you watching the same game? We're not dominating. We got a lot of shots, but we're not dominating. I thought that we would play better than them, but he's like, bro, this game's still 5 minutes left. He goes, we're going to win 4-2. And his friend's like, have you ever watched a Ranger game in your life? They're not going to get another goal. He goes, yo, but this dude, I go into the games with him. He's so negative, this and that. I'm like, well, he is kind of right. Goals are, you know, a little hard to come by. Well, by the two-minute mark, the bro dude kid guy, Brian, he's like, it's over, dude. It's over, bro. But, you know. How were those Cherry Garcias, dude? I told you, I'd hook you up. I'm like, yeah, they were good, thanks. Anyway, so that sets the scene. And then Joel Ward takes one of the stupidest penalties. I mean, I saw it, but I didn't see it until I came home. And he cost, I mean, I know it's obvious that he cost the team the game. But even when he got the 4 minutes, we were all like, yeah. Give him a 20-minute power play. What are they going to do with it? But having those extra men on at that time, and when nobody, and I mean nobody, and anybody who says it is a liar, expected that to go in at the Garden. The crowd got into it when Henrik was pulled. Faceoff was deep. But on the Richards goal, the place went ballistic. Bananas. Crazy. I mean, our seats were raised above some other seats, and we have like a pane of glass. People were jumping up to the glass where I was sitting and slamming on it and high-fiving me over the thing. I mean, it was just berserkowitz. The place was, I mean, it was
bedlam.
It was nothing but a fruitcake. Bedlam. Loudest I ever heard it.
I like that word, bedlam. Mayhem.
It was bedlam. It was bedlam. It was mayhem. Oh, it caboodle.
As Paulie Walnuts would say, fucking mayhem.
Yeah, it was fucking mayhem. I mean, everybody was like, the women were crying, the men were crying.
Caps were crying.
Caps were crying. Matt Hendricks was crying. Even the guy who got Cherry Garcia was crying. Brian, who was a great guy. He was so exhausted from like every time I would say something, he's like, "Don't hold back, kid. Don't hold back. Let him know how you feel, kid." He was like my own personal.
How old was this guy?
He was like 50, maybe.
Oh, okay.
That was just his thing. He called everybody kid or bro.
Everybody was,
you know,
kid.
That was his thing.
How you doing, kid?
It's like that, yeah. You know, he's a good guy. And just outstanding. And then in between periods, we were just glad to be there, but you're kind of like, you know, always just extending the pain. And then, you know, and then freaking when Stahl scored, that was... The whole place was afterwards, too, Jim. In the streets, homeless guys, everybody, Rages. I mean, like hockey was back in New York. You know, finally something to be proud of.
I kind of noticed that Saturday walking through the city. There was kind of lots of Ranger fans walking everywhere, you know, and I had my shirt, my T-shirt on. Hey, Rangers, let's get them today. And it was nice. It was nice. Buzz. Nice to see a buzz back in the city about the Rangers.
Oh, I went to several bars beforehand, packed with Ranger fans. I mean, packed. And a lot of them just was there to watch the game in the city. I mean, it was, I don't know how, I'm so glad we have this radio station because, you know, these idiots don't realize there's people who want Rain Talk Rangers all the time, 24/7.
Yep.
We got it. So that was my experience. On the train home, because, you know, my train rides about an hour and 20 minutes from the Garden. Ranger fans just talking about the game, and can you believe it? I never believed it. And, you know, I'm sure we'll break down the game, but, you know, some guys that we have been on, like John Mitchell, he wins a crucial faceoff, gets the goal. I mean, and Stahl gets the goal, you know. Certain guys that just doing little things to win games. And the only thing I would say, and I don't know how you guys feel about this, is I thought it was a little too much with the streamers and the fireworks after the win. So, I mean, don't you think that was a little bit too much?
You know what?
It's not like...
I was so jubilant when the game was over. I didn't even care. And then today I saw people talking. Somebody, I forget who, a reporter, maybe from D.C. I posted a picture on Twitter. Congrats to the streamers coming down with the players on the ice, and it said, "Oh, congratulations on your Stanley Cup win," or something like that. Whatever. You know what? I couldn't even think about the streamers. I paid no attention to them last night. So, whatever. I really don't care. Keep winning. I don't give a shit if they drop naked. I don't give a shit if they drop blow up from the roof.
It was so loud. They went out to the three stars. You couldn't hear who the three stars were. All I heard was boos. I heard because I think they gave Holtby the third star.
Really?
I think. I don't know why they would give him the third star. I mean, he did make more saves than Henrik, but guess what? He gave the overtime winner. They announced Stahl, but Stahl was being announced. It was being interviewed by creepy Pierre Maguire.
Right.
So that ruined it for the fans who wanted to cheer him and go nuts. I've read in the chat room people jumping on their couches, off their couches, going crazy.
I was just screaming. Just screaming. And what's funny is, you know, we're up pretty early here for work and get my daughter ready for school and everything. So, you know, I get out of bed in the morning and my wife's already up and we pretty much just kind of mumble a hello at each other and, you know, she gets ready, I get ready, and we get Megan out the door and I drop her off at the train and I go to work and we don't really talk. And then I walked into my office this morning and everybody said good morning and I said good morning and I was like, oh man, like my voice was, I had no voice this morning. Still not really fully back yet, but that was like the first time I tried to like really talk out loud and I was like, hey, good morning.
Right.
So.
I mean, I had no voice. My voice is still like gravelly. It was pandemonium. What a win. What a goddamn win. Ugh. And, you know, it was such a crazy game because the Rangers were out shooting them, but I never felt like they were dominating them. I thought the Rangers, they did what I've been preaching. They came out. They took shots. They they outshot them, like, what, 18 to 3 or something? 18 to 4 or 17 to 4, something like that.
I think
the
it
first
was,
period.
I think it was 17-3, if I'm not mistaken.
I got to see firsthand how the Capitals are playing this. They jam the neutral zone. They're daring the Rangers to carry that puck in, and either that or dump it in. And they're not allowing any kind of breakout. Unless a Ranger defenseman is bringing it in, even if he's bringing it, they are just standing. And then occasionally they'll mix it up. Now, I heard that on the TV broadcast they kind of caught Ovechkin dogging it on a shift. Did that happen?
Couldn't tell you.
Well, he apparently he didn't do much of anything. He had no shots.
He had no shots on goal, and they held Backstrom. I think they held to one shot. No, see,
yeah,
I didn't listen to the TV broadcast. That's my new playoff superstition.
Really?
Because
I
of my
no ranked paraphernalia. That's
oh,
my
really?
Suspicion.
I didn't have any paraphernalia on last night either, but that doesn't seem to have any effect. But now, because of my 25-year disdain for Doc Emrick, I come home, I put the game on the TV, I plug my phone up to my computer speakers, I put the NHL Game Center app on, and for the playoffs, the NHL Game Center app is free audio. I tune in the Rangers radio broadcast and sync it up with the TV. I'm about a half a minute behind the rest of the world, but I don't care. Because I got to tell you, this is really the first opportunity that I've ever had to listen to an entire game. And now I've done it twice, both overtime games. I've listened to the radio broadcast while I watch the TV. And obviously they've won both, so no more TV audio for me. But it's the first time I've ever really had the chance to listen to an entire game of Kenny Albert and Dave Maloney. And they are excellent. Excellent at calling a game.
They should be the TV guys.
They should be the TV guys. They have good chemistry. Nothing is forced. They explain the game. Like my buddy was saying, because my buddy listens to them on the radio on his way home from work and then puts the TV on when he gets home. He says even though they're calling the game on the radio, he says they call it like they're on TV. He says they're telling you everything that's going on. And you know, even like when something happens, they go to they do a replay, and the TV's got a replay going. Kenny and Dave are watching the replay too, so they're even telling you what's on the replay. Does that make sense? You know, like they'll say, "Oh, you know,
right,
like on
yeah.
this play, you see Girardi here." You know, they're actually describing the replay to you over the radio, which I think is pretty cool. Really, really good broadcast, Kenny. I said to my friend, you forget how good a broadcaster Kenny Albert is because on Fox Football, they surround him with two buffoons, that Saragusa and Moose Johnson. So he's kind of overshadowed as to really just how good he is at calling a game. And they are wasted on the radio. They really are. It's time to love Sam, love Joe, but let's for comedy reasons. But, you know.
Move on.
Exactly.
Exactly. Out of here.
The only thing about Maloney is that something will happen. The Rangers will do something, and he just goes, "Uh-oh." Like when somebody takes a penalty, "Uh-oh." Oh, shut up! Stop it!
Well,
make me nervous.
Here's a little bit of the Kenny Albert overtime call last night.
One, two, scores! He scores! Mark Stahl on a power play. Rangers lead the series.
Love it.
Now, you see, like just that little snippet, you know Sam would have been like, Sam, in a way, Sam's got to be pissed. He works all year, and then they take all the playoff games away from him. So he can't even get in
one of these?
He would have.
And the deflection and score! Score!
Sam would have been like, Well, Joe, you know, the Yankees, Mariano Rivera is out for the season. It's going to be a big loss. They score! Rangers win!
It's a power play goal!
Exactly. And by the way, you know, I am actively campaigning. Joe Micheletti's been doing, he's doing the Pierre Maguire job for NBC Sports for the Phoenix series. I'm actively campaigning for NBC to hire him full time. I think they should hire him full time.
I will join you in that cause.
Let's get Joe national exposure.
And again, I don't find Emmerich as bad or intolerable as you do. It's just the same old thing over and over again. But I don't see him pushing the whole Ovechkin-Holtby storyline. Although last night I thought they were more – what I only saw the edited version of last night's broadcast, so it seemed like they were more fair. But, of course, they were still, creaming over Ovechkin and every little thing he did. And somebody had mentioned in the chat room, he gave somebody a stick or he came back on a back – he blocked a shot. It went nuts. So I figured, I was telling Jim before that we went on, that you basically can break down that broadcast with two different things. As everybody, and we'll talk about the viewing party, is every time, you know, he's, and a shot, and a shot. All Ed Elchick ever talks about is support. He's always talking about support. So it's basically, and a shot, and support, support. Like Jim, you just did. Well, play it again. Sam.
With a shot. And then the support. But look at the support. Support, 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 support.
And a shot. And a shot.
And then the support. But look at the support. Support, 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 support.
And a shot. And a shot.
There you go. That's the entire broadcast.
And a shot. And a shot.
2 seconds and one.
And then the support. But look at the support. Support, 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 support.
2 seconds and one.
Oh, man. And it's the same, but you didn't have to really listen to that because you were hip to the Kenny Albert broadcast.
Loving it.
So,
I'm loving it.
So what does everybody think? What do you think? I mean, I was there. I don't know what you guys were thinking at home.
Well, I got an email first thing this morning from Chris over in the UK, right? And he said, he says, I'm going to have to check into rehab by the time this series is, the playoffs are over. I'm a nervous wreck. And I said, and I responded to him, and I said, you know what's funny? This is the God's honest truth. Last night, I never had time to be nervous. My emotions last night went like this. Rangers up 1-0, jubilation. They were controlling every aspect of the game, I thought. I felt completely confident. Capitals tied it up. I was still confident. I thought, to agree with your friend and perhaps not with you, kid, I thought they were dominating the game. I thought they controlled every aspect of the game, and I was convinced they would win. Capitals took the lead. Disbelief. I couldn't believe the way the Rangers were playing. I couldn't believe it wasn't paying off. I was sitting there just saying out loud to nobody because I was sitting in the room watching by myself, how are they losing this game? How are they losing to this team? How is this series not over? Right?
Now,
then,
let me just stop you there because
– okay.
I just want to stop you there because that's where I was. At that point, I was saying, I'm yelling this in my section. Hey, Nicholas Maxim, nah. Semin, nah. Ovechkin, nah. Brooks Light, yeah. John Carlson, he's got more goals than Eric Carlson had against us in the first series. I said, I've had enough. They're a bunch of nobodies. They're third string goalie. I'm flipping out now. I'm like, why? How are we losing? So go ahead.
I mean, you know, the Ottawa series, I knew going in that Ottawa, and we said it coming down the stretch, We said it when the playoffs started. We said it after the games got going. They matched. They were going to be a very tough matchup for the Rangers. And they were. And I could understand when the Rangers lost to them. I wasn't happy about it, but I understood why. I could see why they were losing. I cannot understand how they are losing, how they have lost at all to this team. I'm sorry. I just can't. So anyway, so we get back to the game. Caps are up 2-1, 3 minutes to go, right? And I'm going ballistic screaming at the TV. Tell me why I'm going ballistic. Tell me why. I'm screaming at the TV.
Well, how much is left?
3 minutes to go.
Dan Girardi's out there, or he's got the John Mitchell, Brian Boyle line out.
It's the Fedotenko final three. Prust,
yes.
Boyle, Fedotenko. You're up. 3 minutes to go. Let's get that forecheck established. Screaming.
That's what I was saying.
What the fuck are you doing? Why?
I yelled. I was like, you idiot, don't you know we're down by a goal?
That's the Fedotenko final four. That's what I'm gonna call it. That's the new name for it. The Fedotenko Final Four. So then we get less than a minute to go, and at that point, like just, you know, everybody else, even Henrik Lundqvist, resignation. They couldn't get anything going. I was already thinking about the two-game uphill climb. Like, you know, they were going to have to do that again like they did against Ottawa. And then they tied the game. Back to jubilation and joyful disbelief. And I knew as soon as they... You just knew when they scored that goal that they weren't losing. If you saw the body language, I don't know if you – the body language on the Capitals after they scored that goal, they were done. They were cooked. They were done. I'm almost surprised it took them a minute – well, it takes them a minute and a half to get the power play set up. That's why it took so long. A regular power play might have ended that in 15 seconds.
Oh, I got a lot to talk about this power play, too. I mean, it's killing me. They're killing me with this power play. This is the Rangers power play.
I just want to jump in because they're talking about it in the chat. That rant is not meant to be a slight on Russell and Fedotenko. I have said since January that he's the type of guy you need in the playoffs because he knows what it takes and he's a warrior and he's a soldier. But he's not who I want on the ice with 3 minutes to go when you're down by a goal and heading back to Washington. Okay, sorry, go ahead.
I want a line that at least has a $25 million cap hit with the last 3 minutes. I don't want the budget rent-a-car line on. I want the guys with pain. Gabbert.
You don't want Richard. You want Hertz.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. I think Russell Fedotenko is a great cog for a playoff run. He had a good first period, I thought. But yeah, Jim, you're right. The Fedotenko Final Four is. It's a joke, and it was a joke when Girardi was out there on the. I was screaming, "Why? Why are you doing this?" Strowman's got more goals than any Ranger in the playoffs, practically, and he doesn't play the power play. He's got three. He's got three goals in the playoffs. What does this guy got to do?
There's no unseating John Mitchell on the power play.
I mean, hey, it works out. John Mitchell, you know, wins that faceoff. You know, that's it. Kudos to him. I don't know how you go from the Toronto Marlies to, you know, Torts' right-hand man.
Consigliere.
Yeah, he's his fourth-line consigliere. Unmovable. But anyway, I'm picking up players. This was a great win. But you're right, this frustration was setting in. I'm sure it was frustrating. The people at home are starting to get all upset. We're going to go down 3-2 to these idiots. I mean, really, I was getting like, can we? I mean, I understand. And one of the reasons, and I call them idiots, and I do want to give them their props in a way, because in a way the Rangers are playing a carbon copy of themselves in this team. This team blocks shots. This team is hardworking. But they have a group of players that are not on the same page. That's why I feel the Rangers are further along. You know, Semin is a guy who's known to loaf. We know Ovechkin will wander. Like, you know, I don't want to, you know, put the European stigma, but they have a lot of skilled players, and then they have a lot of Troy Browers and Matt Hendricks and Joel Wards and those type of guys, which are more type of our kind of guys. And we're still losing. The puck bounces off Boyle. It goes right to the guy's stick. He scores. The other shot goes off Henrik's glove. I don't know if people want to debate whether he should have had it. I guess if it hits your glove, you should have had it. But whatever. But we've got to talk about the enormous swing. Now, I put Washington in the grave after the triple overtime game, and we all saw what happened in game four. And we all saw what happened in game four, and I think it was AK Power, who I got to meet at the viewing party, said the Rangers shit the bed in game four, and they did shit the bed. They came out terrible. They came out awful. That game was the only thing good out of it came was the viewing party. Right. I was so pissed and despondent after that game. I didn't want to have anything to do with the Rangers for the whole next day. So, but in this game, you had a wing of being up 3-2, going home to the Verizon Center there to clinch for the Capitals, to being down 3-2 and being eliminated at home within a matter of seconds by a ridiculous play by a guy who got you into the second round, Joel Ward. You got that overtime goal in one of the games against the Bruins. That's an enormous swing. And now the Rangers only have to win one out of the next two to win. So, and it looks like the Devils will be the team that will be advancing.
Yeah, and you know what? That's all the more reason for the Rangers to go take care of business tomorrow night. Get it over with. Get a few days rest. You don't want to go 7 games and then be playing a team that's going to be on at least, what, probably 4 or 5 days rest?
Well, the way I look at it, Jim, the Rangers don't think this way. I wish they thought like we did. They don't. It's going to be another one-goal game. It's going to be another, forget about it. Your asshole's going to be puckered up for the entire game. It's just going to be fucking ridiculous. It's going to be a ridiculous game. And we're all going to be nervous. The Rangers aren't going to come out and take it. Or if they're going to take it, this is how they take it. Let's take care of business. Let's go out there and win 5-1. They just don't do that. So, but they will. I think this is it's gotta wear on you. And I really thought last night, I don't know if you guys noticed this or maybe I didn't notice, I didn't think Washington hit at all. Even Matt Hendricks wasn't really hitting. I didn't think that they took body at all.
No, and they also very, very tentative with the puck for a good portion of that game. There's a lot of bad passes, sloppy with the puck. I would have been absolutely beside myself if the Rangers didn't win that game last night. I don't see it. I don't care what Russ Cohen says. He could quote me stats and. He's posted last night on his Facebook group. Anton Stralman only has 4 seconds on the power play. So I just responded, Rangers win. He loves to talk about ice time. Win!
Exactly.
The only ice time I care about is everybody on the ice at center ice at the end of the game raising their sticks.
That's the when ice they time scored I that over. Was it the overtime goal? No, it was the tire. When they panned the bench, Brian Boyle was jumping up and down. Like, go, hoo, hoo, hoo. Like, just, he was jumping high, and Pross was like a little kid. I mean, it was really nice to see that just that they were so into it. I just wish it would translate to the game.
Did you see?
I'm about to give up on Brandon Pross. I don't know what's going on. I know it's heresy to criticize any Ranger right now, but some guy's got to get it going. I expect more out of him. But anyway, I digress. It was a fantastic game.
Did you see who was celebrating right behind the Rangers bench there last night when they tied it up? And then when they won, he went running back and forth behind the Rangers bench waving his towel.
Liam Nielsen?
No. No, he was at the game.
He was at the game.
Yeah, I guess he's become. Has he always been a Ranger fan? I mean, he's been at like every game, it seems like. Every home game, showing him on TV.
Well, that's the new thing. The fans won't cheer unless you show a celebrity. This is how they prod us to cheer, which I don't get. We used to just cheer on our own.
Right.
It's like right before the face-off, they're like, Tom Coughlin's in the crowd. Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's crazy. And then right before the face-off.
Well,
Matthew Modine is in the crowd. Yeah, let's cheer. Woo, yeah, let's go, Rangers.
Well, anyway, behind the Rangers bench, waving his towel and running back and forth behind Mr. Justin Tuck of your Super Bowl champion.
Yes, I saw that he's become
quite the Ranger fan. I guess he's, ever since they won the Super Bowl, you know how they invite the players and they put them on. And ever since then, what's that? Because they go to Yankee Stadium and they get booed. They booed Tebow at Yankee Stadium. The Jets don't want to go out in public. But, I guess Tuck, they invited him to a game after they won the Super Bowl, and he just keeps coming back. He's really gotten into the Rangers. So, good
for
him.
They had like 100 Giants there. It's like, I understand. They had John Starks was there from the Knick team.
Yeah, they talked about it. Who cares?
Who cares?
It's not 1994. Who cares about John Starks?
Larry Robinson?
Marvin Webster?
really. The Human Eraser was there. Marvin Webster. The Twin Towers, him and Bill Cartwright. I mean, I don't know what they're talking about with these people. And that's how we get the crowd riled. Then they have this really bad thing. Oh, God. We've got to get a YouTube of this sound clip. Somebody, when you're at the game, they took all the alumni guys, all those fossils, Duguay, Rodriguez. He's got some kind of Hitler mustache he's rocking now. Roger Bear.
With his beard?
Yeah. And Brian Mullen, you know, all their shills for Blue Shirt United. And they're like, this is our time. And they have like Duguay trying to act manly, and it's just so ridiculous. This is New York. We're loud. This is New York. We're loud. And Rodriguez is like, go New York Rangers. Like, you can't even understand what
he's saying. Of course, people do go both ways.
I was like, Rod, take your medicines. Sit down. Then Brad Park was at the game. That was another. Brad Park's at the game. Let's cheer. And everybody cheered. And then the Capitals scored, and I yelled, Brad Park's a jinx. People were looking at me. Some were laughing. Some were looking at me.
You know, speaking of the speaking of the
Park.
What? Speaking of the radio,
look like Porky Pig now, Porky Park.
Speaking of the radio broadcast and the alumni, in between the third and overtime, they interviewed Greschner, and Malone or Kenny Albert asked Greschner, you know, to
kind of break down what he thought would happen in the overtime. And he said the Rangers are going to have to, you know, come out like they did in the first period, shooting. And he said, and the defense, something to the effect of, I don't have the quote exactly right, but the defensemen are going to have to move around and find the shooting lanes, which was exactly what Mark Stahl did. So in between all those scotches, Greschner knows he knows how to break it down.
Oh, definitely. As long as you get him talking about Rick Santorum. He's endorsed it. And that's the only thing I give him with politics.
Or the,
yeah,
or
no,
the boss
knows his stuff. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, that goal was like, now, where's, I know Frankie must be really be eating some curl down there in Fort Myers. Now that Mark Stahl, who he wanted his trade bait, scores an overtime game.
No.
I mean, I don't know. Him and Mary have not called into the show in a long time.
And I'm not crazy.
No.
And I'm not crazy.
Andrew Cogliano.
So what a wonderful victory.
And I'm not a crazy person, despite the brain injury. No.
Man, those two. I miss Mary. Yeah, Captain Range is right. Maybe they both eloped.
Maybe they eloped.
Those two crazy
Robbie's
young
here.
Kids have eloped.
Wow.
Who's here?
Robbie.
Oh.
Great Robbie Guy Lombardo.
Yes. Wonder if he watched the game, or is he still ecstatic over the Knicks winning finally a playoff game? I banned all Nick talk at Madison Square Garden as well. I was there. Shut up about the Knicks.
Stop it.
Stop.
Stop.
Stop. It. Why is Dan Girardi out there? And I loved it. Did you see Dan Girardi freaking that check on Mike Green? That was nice.
Yeah. Clean check. Good clean hit. And Green hit his head on the ice and he went down.
And, of course, creepy Pierre McGuire was like, Mike Green took that check great. He knew he was going to get it, but he still got delivered the puck. Oh, yeah, great. He got hit. He's a great player. Come on, give it a break.
This is right now is where I wish I had the clip of Christian Bale going, oh, good for you.
Good for you. What movie
good
is that?
Good for you.
What movie is that from?
Oh, that was that was when he was filming the Terminator movie, and that was
right.
Somebody was one of the lighting guys was moving lights while he was trying to do a scene, and he flipped out on the guy. It wasn't, you know, it was like, and it was caught on audio tape, him flipping out on this guy.
Oh, really? I'll have to look it up and I'll get it.
Yeah. Sure, I could.
Well,
I could probably...
that's
funny. Oh, good for you. somebody even made like a mix of it. You know, they like put it to music and everything. It was really funny.
Oh, yeah. So what else is going on? We got people, you guys excited? What's going on?
646-478-4692 is the number if you guys want to call in. We have no calls on hold, so this might be a real short show.
Well, listen, I think everybody's a little bit exhausted. But, I mean, where do you think the Rangers are going from here? Do you think – see, I've already told you my game plan. The Rangers will emotionally take nothing from this, and the Capitals will emotionally not buckle from this. We're going to be back to the same kind of programming that we've been seeing all along. It's just a matter, again, now see, my brother, and I love my brother, and he was at the viewing party, and we should talk about the viewing party as well.
Yeah.
Me and him see opposite. As kids, we saw opposite on everything. We were totally opposite. And again, he came up to me again. He goes, I don't know. Rangers got kind of dominated. And I'm like, I didn't see it that way. I said, they only got 18 shots on goal, Dan. I go, yeah, but he goes, the Rangers never really get any quality shots, and they give up a lot of chances because there was one play where Stahl, got burnt on by Semin. And that was the Gabbert giveaway, I think. I think Semin also burnt Girardi later in the game, but there was a Gabbert giveaway in the first period, which led to a scoring chance in which Semin should have shot, but he passed. But still, Henrik had to come up with a brilliant save. And I think my brother, because he's not as hockey learned as us and, you know, the people in this chat room listening to this podcast, that maybe he sees the golden opportunities really come more to the Capitals than come to the Rangers. Rangers, I'm telling you, I can diagram the Rangers offense. I wish I should have the cam on. But that would not be good because...
You're telling me in the chat room that Stacey Robinson died in the 86 Giants, one of the wide receivers, number 87.
I was like, who's she? All right, now... I'm drawing up... remember what I said when Sullivan was drawing up a power play when they pulled the net in the game four? What is he doing over there? Drawing up Mad Libs? He's not making anything that's pertinent. This is the problem, folks. It's Coach Geik here. The Rangers' offense is all about dumping the puck behind the net, either side. Then they work the puck. They turn their back to the boards, okay? And then we get this, like, it's like Ranger ping pong. It's one side behind the net to the other side. Anyway, scuffling, there's a scrum, it's a two-on-two, there's two guys there. And then if we win that scrum, the puck never reaches the front of the net. The puck will go back to the point, okay, where the point man will look to the other point guy, either pass it or pass it behind the net again for yet another scrum. Now, either the other team wins that second battle or the puck dribbles towards the goalie for a faceoff, or because we are never facing open ice, we're still facing the boards here, somebody will backhand it blindly in front of the net where no Ranger is, and the other team takes it and goes. That's the Rangers' offense in a nutshell. On the power play, I wish you could see these drawings that I'm doing. There is no transition from even strength play to the power play. It's the same thing. We just have one extra guy. So we dump it behind the net. This time we might have three guys on that two guys. Back to the point. Pass to the other point. Look for the shot. Oh, they're going to block it. Throw it around the net. Doesn't get there. Cleared. That's the Rangers' offense. For better or worse, did they have any odd man rushes last night?
They had a 3-on-2 that went nowhere.
Well, the new one, my new favorite is the breakaway and change. It's 3-on-1. Oh, we got to get a matchup. Change. He did that a couple times.
Yep.
We got numbers. We got numbers. Change. We got to make sure that we shut down Brooks Like. We got to make sure we get Troy Brower on the wraps. But you know what? Why am I complaining? We're up 3-2. Because we'll bitch no matter what.
Pretty much.
But let's talk about Brad Richards before we get to the viewing party. How many big goals has this guy come up with?
Two.
I mean, through the this year and now in the playoffs. And he's an assist guy. I mean, we didn't expect him to be a big goal guy. You know what I'm saying, kid?
I hear you, kid.
12 million.
9 million. Yeah, a couple of his goals. I mean, he had the goal here in Phoenix. You know, as time expired. And then,
that was another good Sam Rose goal. And the game is over. Wait a minute.
We have that one, don't we?
I think so.
Oh, here it is. Here it is. Oh, this it's a little bit long.
Check there by Yandel. 10 seconds to go. In regulation time, tied 2-2. Behind the net, Callahan. Try to put it in front of his block. And this one is going to overtime. Wow, the puck went in. No goal. It's waved off.
You know what? They got to take a look at this.
This
that
may be
like it
in.
Was in.
This may be in.
That's in. That's in. I think it's going to count. I think this was Stefanski on the backhand.
This might be one of the most unbelievable finishes
that's clearly
that we've
in.
Seen. Here it is, Tim Peel, the official call.
After video review, it has been determined that the puck crossed the goal line with 0.1 seconds left.
You heard it. The Rangers have won it.
Wow. 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 This might be the most unbelievable. That mushmouth, Toucan Sam. He's no Kenny Albert.
He's not.
Steve Albert, whatever Albert.
Kenny.
What?
Kenny.
Kenny.
Steve Albert.
He's no Kenny Albert.
Al Albert. There's another one for you.
Yeah, I remember that dude, too. Oh, stop, you and your Sam, Robbie. You and Marcy Braverman are the only people who like him. I don't hate him. I move on.
He's just good for comedy.
What? The game is over. He has me turning. Yes. He makes sure he gets that Foxwoods Final Five in, though. He gets that call every game.
Oh, yeah. Meanwhile, you're switching over to Cinemax or something. Oh wait. But wait, there's more.
But wait, there's more. The Rangers may have won this game.
Wow.
We interrupt this the Sam and Joe show for a goal. A potential goal. Oh, you love that baseball, don't you, big boy? How about your Yankees? Wow!
My buddy.
Oh.
You ready to talk to the? Ready to talk to? Oh, you want to talk about the viewing party first? You want to get the phones going?
Yeah, let's talk about the viewing party.
All right.
I see some people in here. Why wasn't Bella there? Oh, that's right. I think she had. Bella, didn't you have a... why am I talking to Bella? Bella, I think, became a godmother. I saw on her Facebook. That better be your excuse why you weren't there. Working, come on.
Feh.
Ridiculous. Feh. Meh. Well, I got to meet Chris the Meat. Very nice man. Brought a crew down. I'm like, anybody brings down a crew. Dan Cotter is his own crew. Was there. Got to meet Pat the Laundry guy.
Pat the Laundromat. That's great. That was great to see him.
All the greats were down there. Newman was there.
I told Chris the Meat. That if we gave out a prize for the hottest entourage, he would have won it.
Wow, I mean, it was kind of slim pickings, let's face it. not exactly the most esoteric friendly crowd, let's put it that way. You're like, speak for yourself, big guy.
No, I was talking about the group of women that was surrounding him.
Oh, I thought you meant like all of us. Oh, yeah. Well, I like that they were free spirits. His girlfriend is especially a free spirit.
Yeah.
Especially when I said, oh, it's Chris, the meat. She goes, I said, Chris, I'm sorry on the show I said Chris takes the meat. And she goes, I'm the only one who takes his meat. And I'm like,
And then she did right there on the bar. It was really weird.
Oh, come on. Don't turn this into that. But it was great. They were fun. Everybody
Why don't
was
get off color?
Well, because I don't want to insult anybody. Maybe she's listening. Maybe she doesn't want,
maybe she's
that portrait painted of her. I mean, have a little respect here. This show is a family show. Now, this is when Jim doesn't know if I'm serious
or not. Don't you have sarcasm when you hear it?
Yes, it was a good thing. It was, Jim, you talk about it. You flew in, people, ran to you, you were the main view of that viewing party.
No, it was great to see everybody. We had a great crowd. I'd say we had probably, about 75 people, something like that. We had that room. We were packed in there, that's for sure. We were spilled out into the main portion of the upper level of Slattery's Midtown Pub, and they did a fantastic job taking care of us. Kristen and...
Except with the TVs. They got to fix that TV situation.
Yeah, we'll work on that. We'll work on that. Kristen and the other girl. And there were free shots after the Rangers scored, and food was good.
Yeah,
the beer was
really
cold.
Nice. I got to meet 8K Power. What did he
yep.
said? 8K Power. I don't know why. I was like, oh, was that after Kovalev? And totally blew that.
Kevin,
yeah, I was
there.
So glad. A lot. Yeah, I was a lot.
Colin Purcell.
Yeah, I mean, there were a lot of new people there, and I was glad to meet them.
How about
really
Nick
cool.
from Bayside showing up?
Yeah, hobnobbing with us.
He was down
there. I talked to him for a while.
John Starks at a Ranger game, but Nick from Bayside's at our viewing party. Who's more relevant?
Nick knows his hockey.
That's right.
I quizzed him up. So I thought he might try to just, hook his star to us. He made me
oh, yeah.
fan.
Yeah.
You may have remembered the gig I played with him 20 years ago when he was 13. And said, listen, maybe this guy was a talent. Maybe I should try to hook up with him again. So I kind of went up to him and was like, so what do you think about this? And he knows his hockey. I like that. Everybody does. It was great. It was a lot of fun, except for one thing. The Rangers don't win at these fucking viewing parties. Now it's not a family show now.
Just when they put no more viewing parties against the Caps. That's it. That's it. Done.
I don't know. The playoffs is just a different animal. I can't have fun in the playoffs. I'm just so torn inside. You're a better man than I am, Jim. You were making jokes. You were yelling, Jim!
Jim!
Jim! Or every time Stu Bickle got the puck, everybody was yelling, Bickle! Stink Pickle!
Well, it was kind of like, it was almost like it was like an arena atmosphere. You know what I mean? Everybody's just yelling stuff
right.
out. We're chanting. I mean, we were chanting Let's Go Rangers. We were chanting Henrik. Costa was dancing and doing the Flintstone flop. And it was a lot of fun. We had a great time. Helen Yoon was there. Got to talk to her. And Marcy was there. Adam Rader showed up. I mean, think about it. We had Colin Cosell, who's, fairly popular guy in broadcasting. We had Adam Rader, who's an accomplished journalist. And we had Nick from Bayside, who's an accomplished musician. He's going to play Bamboozle in a couple of weeks. Guy's played, what's that other one? Warped Tour, I think. He's been on that. I mean, we're huge.
I don't know. Bamboozle, what the hell is that?
It's like it's Woodstock for kids under for people under 30.
What is that, a minstrel show? I've been bamboozled.
Well, hello there. Next up, you're going to see Baysides. And you're going to love them. Oh, my. There goes half our listeners. There goes Eddie. I just lost Eddie. All right. Well, while we wait for Eddie to call back in, I think this is Costa. Costa, are you there?
Yeah, how you doing?
How you doing, man? Feeling better?
It's still sore, but it's more stiff than anything. I can walk on it. I can walk
That's
on it pretty fine. I'm going to the doctor tomorrow. I'm going to get it checked out, you know,
right,
just to be safe, you know.
Well, good. So what's going on? People are dropping. What's going on the switchboard here? Weird. All right, so what's going on? How you?
Can you imagine the Garden if that high stick was not called? Can you imagine the just the utter carnage in the Garden? Just there would have been shit on the ice. I can promise you that.
Yeah, it would have been ugly. It would have been ugly.
Oof.
Eddie might have thrown that guy that was buying ice cream for everybody down on the ice. yes, Cutter, you are showing on hold. So, how are you? As the game went on last night, how were you feeling?
What?
As the game was going on last night, what were your? Were you running the gamut of emotions like the rest of us?
No, I was just watching, and you know, I was just watching. I was just watching the game. I wasn't like that emotional, you know. But when they scored the goal in 6.6 seconds or something, I went nuts. I was like, oh my god, they actually scored a power play goal. Holy my god. And when it counted.
And then they scored another one.
And initially I was like, oh my god, I'm like, oh my god, they scored another power play. Is the end nigh? You know what I'm saying? But that was a great win. That was a tremendous win. You know, if only Sam was making that call, how nuts he would have went. If he made those last two goals Sam called, he would have been nuts.
Yeah, he would have lost it. See if Eddie's back yet. Eddie is not back yet.
I hope he better heed what I said and change that fucking modem.
Oh, I think he's back.
My modem.
There you are.
My modem. Sucks scrotum. My modem.
Oh, yeah. My the family modem. Show.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. What a hot entourage. She was doing people on the table.
I didn't put it like that.
Oh, all right.
That makes her sound like, you know, loose women.
Yeah, you know, I don't know what you were talking about while I was gone and
you?
What were you saying?
Nothing. Just kidding.
Is it official? Are the Flyers out?
Apparently so.
Good. You suck. Get out of here, you bum.
Goodbye. Get out of here, you bum.
That's right. Now, I decided why I was on motor mic.
Get out of here, you bum.
Exactly.
Is she on the line?
Yeah, Costa's on the line.
I didn't know that. I was when I was in the modem free zone.
So when are you going to do it, Ted? When are you going to do it?
Hey. Nah. Tomorrow I'm going to do it.
Nah. I'm over here now. Oh, now it's mine.
How are you feeling, by the way, you crazy Greek?
I'm going to the doctor tomorrow. I'm just going to get checked out. You know, I can walk. I'm still limping a little bit, but I'm going to get it checked out tomorrow. Going to the doctor just in case. See if it's. I'm guessing it's a high ankle sprain. That's what I'm guessing.
Let me tell you. I was
You're not that tall.
People.
Do you even have a high ankle?
All right, now listen. No jokes. This is serious. I asked people around the bar what happened to you, and apparently Helen Yoon's breast distracted you so much that you fell down. Is that true?
No. I was doing the gold song, and the blood rushed to my head, and boom, down I went.
Did you notice Helen Yoon's breasts?
No. Oh, yeah, I did. Yeah, I did.
People who were there, actually dance there, it's time to fess up. Do you think her breasts made quite an impression?
Well, if she got it.
I'm just saying, do you think they made an impression?
Who?
At the very her breasts.
Who, what?
Did her breasts make an impression at the viewing party?
Hi, Charles.
Oh.
Jim, you're telling me a story. Tell the story to the folks about before. I'll put you right in that.
I am not telling that story.
Come on, tell it. It's funny. No. She knows it's good.
All right. I was standing next to Colin while we were watching the game at the viewing party, and Helen came up behind us, and she's yelling at the TV, and she had her left one pressed up against me and her right one pressed up against Colin, and Colin and I are just kind of looking at each other like, what do we do now? So she walks away, and Colin says, well, I guess we both got to see Helen's Yoons. and then I said, Melon Yoons.
Melon Yoons. See, it's all in fun.
Yeah. Well, she'll stop calling in.
Oh, she can take it.
Oh, yeah, until Newman goes to her Facebook page. Oh, they were talking about you on the show last night.
Oh, yeah, Newman will be right. Ed and Jim was saying about your breasts. I was telling him not to say anything, but...
Meanwhile, he was giving her...
My boy, tutors!
Yeah.
All right, Costa, we're going to take some other calls. We'll talk to you later.
All right, bye-bye.
Feel better, brother.
Feel better. Yeah, I mean, it was getting crazy, you know?
Shit. Cutter, call back. Sorry. I went to hang up on Costa, and it didn't cut out right away, and I wound up hanging up on Costa, and then I hung up on Cutter. Cutter, call right back. I'll put you right on. Justin, what's going on?
Hey, what's up, fellas?
What's going on, bro? Come on, kid.
Just on break, man. I got a couple of minutes. Just wanted to say what a game. That was amazing. So awesome. Unbelievable.
I just got a message from someone at the viewing party that said when Costa was coming down the stairs, his yam bag was about to fall out of his shorts. And that's according to someone's brother.
So was that not like the most amazing game you've ever seen or what?
Definitely. One of them, that's for sure. Eddie, are you still here? Or did we lose you again? We lost Eddie again. So he missed
that's
that.
That's right. I'll fill in for the next 2 minutes.
Are you on break?
Yeah, I'm on break. I got to go back in a minute. But I just wanted to say that was amazing. And, oh, man, that was just, that was awesome. Like, I was on the patio out here when I was listening on the radio, and I, like, jumped out of my chair, freaked out when Brad Richards scored the goal.
Yeah, I hear you. Bella said to say hello from the chat room.
Okay. yeah. Tell her I said hey. So.
I think she heard you.
Okay. yeah, so I got 2 more hours to go. I'm going to go kill it off. I'll talk to you guys later, and let's go kill the Capitals tomorrow.
You know it. All right, talk to you soon, buddy. Take it easy.
Later.
Bye. All right. Well, Eddie seems to be gone again. So, all right, hold on. Cutter, what's going on?
Hey, Jim, what's up?
Sorry I hung up on you. It was an accident. I didn't do it on purpose. If I did do it on purpose, I wouldn't have told you to call back.
Shut up, Cutter!
How are you?
Oh, I'm doing well. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
So a big shout-out to your area Phoenix Coyotes.
Yes. Congratulations to the Phoenix Coyotes, who have made it to the Western Conference Finals for the first time and got a new owner yesterday. Although I'm not, it remains to be seen if that's a good thing or not.
Radio Ambien.
Oh, you're back. Where are you?
Yeah. I'm in the modem.
You're not even on the switchboard.
Well, I'm,
you know,
very
sick. You can call them Radio Ambien all you want, but in another 3 weeks, we may be talking about them rather extensively.
I won't be. You're talking about the glorious New York Rangers. I'll be so shocked when the Stanley Cup, I won't be told. So what's Cutter? Cutter, how are you?
Hey, Eddie, how are you?
Doing well. How, did you get the shirt?
Yeah, I got the shirt the day that Game 7 happened against the Senators.
See, Cutter, he doesn't pay attention when you say in the Facebook group that you're wearing the shirt he sent you. I remember, though.
I'm sorry. I apologize. Oh, good. So you brought it good luck. The shirt brought us good luck. That's great. Now you and Jim can talk about your Phoenix team.
He asked me a question about Phoenix, and I answered it.
I had to get you back for the pay attention in the Facebook.
I know. What else you got, Cutter?
Well, I was so close to losing it last night because when Joe Ward took that penalty, I thought it was Hagelin because I thought they were pointing at Hagelin that would take the penalty, and you know how much I hate Hagelin right now.
Why do you
hate Carl Hagelin?
Well, Hagelin got that 3-game suspension that almost cost the Rangers against the Senators.
Hagelin.
Yeah, but it didn't.
It didn't, and I would hazard to guess that the Rangers really did miss Carl Hagelin in those 3 games, and he has become a very important part of this team. So, yeah, I know what you're saying. You could have been a little down on him for taking that penalty, but it didn't, that series is dead and gone, and now we're in a different thing. And where are you feeling about, what's your feelings about the Rangers in the next 2 games?
Well, I know for a fact that the Rangers now have to win. I mean, you got the Devils waiting for you.
I know. Who would have thought there possibly could be a Ranger-Devil conference final? I didn't. I mean,
I will say this much.
Go ahead.
Well, Eddie, who would have thought that it would have been Phoenix, L.A. for a trip to the Stanley Cup Finals?
That's true, too. It's been a very weird season, the way it's played out.
Yeah.
Well, a couple things I want to say now that the Flyers are out. They're stuck with Brizgalo for the next century. I just want to say that. Take your Scott Hartnell great season. Goodbye. Get out of here, you bum. Take your trades to shake up the team. Get out of here, you bum. Mike Richards is, and Jeff Carter are now in the semifinals, and you're not.
Yeah.
So guess what? It all went down the toilet. How the Devils, I still don't know how they do it. I didn't watch many games in that series. I saw how St. Louis totally, I mean, they went, I think, 0 for 17 or 0 for 18 on the power play in that series. So, so anyway, what do you think? You're kind of, you know, we know your second favorite team are the Rangers.
Mm-hmm.
So, what do you think? You're kind of unbiased.
Well,
how do you evaluate?
The problem with facing New Jersey is going to be because, well, you know, Peter DeBoer is the coach, and, well, he used to coach the Kitchener Rangers, and David Clarkson used to play for Kitchener. But, you know, New York trumps Kitchener, unfortunately. So, you know, I'm going to pick the Rangers to win no matter what happens.
Yes. Well, you're learning. The New York Rangers are the greatest team that God ever created.
Well, and Jim alluded to this a while ago. He said he's hoping for New York Phoenix in the Stanley Cup Finals. I think it could happen.
Yeah. I was thinking to the conference finals that I could go to both Garden and to the Prudential Center because tickets will be available in New Jersey. So I could go, like, possibly like three games. But yeah, then you would see the Rangers. That would be great. Yeah, I didn't think about that. Wow, a lot of possibilities out there.
Broadcasting live from the Stanley Cup Finals.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
About it.
All right, that's cool. And you notice they mentioned John Mitchell and his time with the Toronto Marlies, 7 years with them, apparently. They mentioned that in the broadcast. Every time I think of the Marlies, I think of Cutter.
Right.
I should think of Kitchener, though, really. His junior team.
The Marlies?
Well, they are the Maple Leafs minor league team.
Yeah, they're the farm club. Oh, okay. I think I get what you're saying. Okay.
Right, yeah.
Well.
All right. Anything else?
Well, sounds like you had a good time at the feeling party. Too bad I wasn't there, but, of course, last week I had to hear the news that I lost my grandma to Alzheimer's, so I had to go to the funeral on Saturday.
Yeah, I know. We're sorry that we hear that, and I think on the last show, you know, best of all our condolences. That's it's just a terrible thing.
Well... Yeah.
Yeah, you're bringing me down here. Rangers had the biggest victory, and I got to give this.
I apologize.
No, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it, my friend. Anything else? Anybody else die? Something else go on? What else you got to bring?
Just this phone call.
Sadly, there's nothing else to say.
Well, all right, Cutsy. We're going to let you go.
Okay. I know you got to get out of the call, so I'll let you go.
All right.
Take
care. We'll talk to you soon.
Bye, Cal.
Take care.
Let's go Rangers tomorrow.
You know it.
That's right, brother.
Woo!
Cutsy.
Like that one?
That's right, Cutsy. Right, big boy.
That's his new nickname, Cutsy. Here, all right. I won't play this whole thing.
But here, everything now.
Kick your fucking ass! I want you off the fucking set, you prick! No, don't just be sorry. Think for one fucking second. The fuck are you doing? Are you professional or not?
Yes, I am.
Do I fucking walk around and rip that? No, shut the fuck up, Bruce. Do I want? No! No! Don't shut me up! Am I gonna walk around and rip your fucking lights down in the middle of a scene? Then why the fuck are you walking right through? Like this in the background. What the fuck is it with you? What don't you fucking understand? You got any fucking idea about, hey, it's fucking distracting having somebody walking up behind Bryce in the middle of the fucking scene? Give me a fucking answer. What don't you get about it?
I was looking at the light.
Oh, good for you. And how was it? I hope it was...
I just wanted to get to the part where he said, oh, good for you.
Yeah, send me the clip. I'll edit it down. Can you send me the clip?
Yeah, later. I'll email it to you. Because there's so many good parts.
Yeah.
There's so many good parts in there. There's the, you know, da-da-da-da-da-da. You know, he says, no, don't shut me up. There's like, I mean, there's at least 10 good sound bites in there.
Oh, yeah. Oh, good for you.
Yeah, that's the best part. You know, they said, Captain Ranger just said, it's not like they were filming Shakespeare. They were making Terminator. He needs the lights. Don't fuck with my lights.
Jim!
That was another one from the viewer. They're like, Jim!
Yep.
In order to be good, you gotta be lucky. And Hardy Oscar has been lucky. Just got lucky. You know, all year we had been joking about, you know, some Ranger fans who I've always been worried about what's on the other end of the stick, so to speak, as far as who we're going to play, and this team is better, and now I'm getting that LA thing.
Oh, LA! Jonathan Quick! He plays like a spider! He can't be beat. Look at his style!
Give it a break. It's similar to the Rangers. Russ Cullen now.
No one's going to beat the Kings.
Now, I know Megums, or Meg, as she knows to the rest of us, is a big Kings fan. She's been following the Kings. I think she would say that the Rangers and Kings are fairly kind of equivalent to each other in a lot of regards. So, but still, it's ridiculous. We got to keep lauding these teams. Meanwhile, it was Pittsburgh so deep. Yeah, they're so deep. They're deep into golf season right now. They're Bruins in their gold differential. Yeah, they're 5 under par. So you're like, hey, see how I'm making these jokes? See how I'm doing it?
This is great.
But
we're not as good as Boston. We're not as good as...
Give it up. Anyway, so I've digressed and gone into some... And I kind of feel bad to Jonathan. Wow. Oh, man, Jonathan's lucky. He's singing Agnostic Front and Sick of It All tonight.
Wow.
Which are two hardcore bands. Agnostic Front, I don't know what kind of lineup they got. But anyway, what am I talking about here? He's got me distracted. So,
they've been around a long time, right?
Agnostic Front's been around a real long time.
Yeah.
They were like one of the first hardcore bands. And apparently I'm getting invited to a Ranger game here, and this is the best in New Jersey. I will go. If there is a game in Jersey, I will be there. So what else we got, Jim?
We got more phone calls.
Bring them on. I'm sorry I've gone off on a tangent.
What's up, Robbie?
How are we, guys?
Good. Good to hear from you. You missed the viewing party on Saturday.
I know. I was. I couldn't wake up, actually, to be honest with you. Honestly.
Couldn't wake up?
Yeah.
Couldn't wake up.
I like to sleep late. What time? The game is at 12:30. That's an early start for me. But I saw the game.
What do you have, Mitchell Jackson's doctor? I mean, I don't get it. What's that doctor's name, Michael Jackson's doctor?
Oh, I'm sorry. I couldn't make it. I knew what it was. I'm sorry to read. Midtown
Pub. Dr. Conrad, you know what this guy's name is?
William Conrad.
No, William Conrad. That's freaking Jake and the Fat Man.
Well, anyway, that was a very...
Go ahead,
we're listening. Oh, I did. You guys are going off on something else. That was a very crazy win last night. I almost lost my voice once when Richards tied it, and then Stahl won it. Kind of reminded me of Game 5 of the 2007 second round when we were on the opposite side where we blew a one-goal lead with 7.7 seconds left. But now that was the last time was an avenge for that. I don't know if you guys remember the 07 series when Jerry scored, but... Yeah, I immediately thought of that once we won. So
it's not like it was 30 years ago.
That was 5 years ago, 2007. So, if
are you in a
we
bad
went,
mood
are you
to
more...
tonight, Robbie?
I'm sorry, what?
Are you in a bad mood tonight? You're very somber.
No, I'm fine. I'm just, I don't know, just tired. That's all. But senior year has been draining me. That's what.
Are you graduating?
Yes, this June, next month.
Well,
so I'm hoping my senior year in high school, my favorite professional ice hockey team can bring me my first world championship, which would be very nice to celebrate going out with a bang.
And then what does the future hold for Robbie Guy Lombardo? Are you off to
college? I don't know.
The fall?
I don't know.
He doesn't want to be saddled with the pressure. You know how many times he's been asked that already? What are you doing? What are you doing? It's like, who cares?
Exactly.
Do what the rest of us did. Stay at home with your parents.
I don't think my parents will let me stay here.
Get an internet radio show.
Get an internet radio show and stay home.
Thank you for your concern. I appreciate it. But tomorrow night, I'm actually... And the one thing I am upset about is that I just want to say that why is it that the NHL gets no respect or any consideration? Because... tomorrow night, there's also another playoff game that I am very interested in the outcome, and it's going to be very hard to flip back and forth. So,
WNBA?
WNBA, yeah, that's right.
The Liberty?
Liberty.
The NHL, we don't get any respect, do you?
Let me tell you.
You don't. I mean, that's why it's not really that popular of a sport.
Well,
but.
I will say today, guys, and then this is let me just interject here, if I may. This was the first time that I went out to the candy store, as we used to say. No one says that anymore. We're going out to the candy store to pick up the local papers to see the back pages. And all three locals, it was the Rangers on the back page. Now, I don't remember one said miracle, one said holy shit. No, it did say holy shit. But all three papers had, which wasn't a headline, but a guy on ESPN radio said it, the great escape. Because really that's what that was, that game. It was a great escape. Because they escaped from the clutches of a loss. Know what I'm saying, player?
It quite possibly could have been the greatest victory that I've seen with this team because I don't remember 94. I was only 3 months old when Metto scored and obviously 4 months old when they won it. So that could have been the greatest win in my life of being a Rangers fan, to be honest with you. So
it's up there again with the triple overtime. There's been two of those games in this playoffs that are up there ever. Not just in your lifetime, in all of our lifetimes.
Sure, this could be a very special year. But so the Flyers are done.
Go ahead.
I was going to say the Flyers are done. And none of that, but the Mets beat the Phillies tonight, so it was a rough night down the turnpike. I like that.
Fuck them.
Phillies and the Flyers can please. I despise both of them.
Just
so rough night down
there. Mets win it, didn't you?
I had to. 17-13. But I guess the Rangers are still number one. It's I got all summer to watch the Mets, but it's the Rangers right now. But you know.
Right. I'll see you at the parade. Ranger parade.
Oh,
better be.
If they win, I'll be at the parade, but I don't want to jinx anything now. So I'm just going to keep it like that.
Oh, well, what if it's at 12 o'clock in the afternoon?
Then that, I knew you were going to say that.
Then what are you going to do?
I don't know. I'll have to wake up. I'll get up especially for that. Not that I'm saying
sleeping
this game wasn't a
sleeping for the parade like Dwight Gooden.
Oh, yeah, that was pretty. No, Dwight Gooden wasn't sleeping through it. He was doing something else. But
he was medicating.
No, he was sleeping through it because he was doing something else.
That's true. Actually, no, that's true. They did a special on that. But anyway.
Bobby's personal doc, Dr. Conrad Murray. Go ahead.
Christ. Oh, my God.
All right, Robbie.
That's pretty much all I got. So tomorrow night, we got to advance to the Eastern Conference Finals for the first time since 1997, boys. Let's do this, all right? Let's go Rangers.
Good. All right. Talk to you later. Take care, Robbie. Good to hear from you.
Take care. Good to hear you. See you soon.
Take care, kid.
Robbie. All right, let's see. 203-564, you're on Blue Shirt Underground Radio. Who's this?
Hey, Jim. Mario.
Hey, Mario, it's Jim. Missed on Saturday, pal.
Yeah, I had family stuff. You know.
Wow.
Shit.
You know, I asked Robbie
Schaefer
to wake me up.
Schaefer was there. He cursed you out the whole day.
Yes, Robbie.
I asked Robbie to wake me up. The fucker never did.
So what's going on, Mario? What's your take? I haven't heard from you.
Best win since '94. You know? I can't think of a better win.
No.
Can you?
No.
I mean, I think I woke
really,
up people.
Yeah.
I woke people, you know, three counties over the way I was screaming last night after that goal. It was just amazing. It was incredible. I haven't screamed like that since the Mateau goal.
Yeah. I don't think. I mean, I keep saying it. I said it last week that the triple overtime game. Maybe in one of the top five. This certainly goes into it. Right now I'm so ensconced in this whole playoff thing, I can't really look at it in a kind of a retrospective way yet. But I think when it's all said and done, I'm going to feel that way after it all shakes out. That was just, I keep saying it, unbelievable. And it was unbelievable. Nobody believed it.
You know, if you guys can get a hold of the tape of the Pierre Maguire post-game interview with Mark Stahl, it is fucking classic. It's unbelievable.
It was horrible. From what I saw, it was horrible.
He couldn't understand
what he was thinking.
That's what made it so great with Stahl's face looking at Maguire like, why is this asshole even asking me questions? it was perfect. It was basically the look we get on our faces every time we hear his voice. It was on Stahl's face.
So where do you think this takes us? Does this take us into Does this propel us? Does this
you know,
repel us?
You know, but what did I call you guys, 3 years ago and said we were 4 years away? I think I was a year off. I think last night's win is the kind of win that propels you to championships, man. I think they can really ride this. And it's the first time I've been saying all playoff, you know, this is a young team. They got to learn how to win. If they make it to the finals, I'll be happy. But after last night, I'm starting to believe, man.
I mean, certainly these things do not happen in Rangerland. We just don't
they
see
don't.
These things.
I know. I mean, I'm a Yankee fan. I'm used to this stuff, but never on the ice, you know.
Right.
You know, Jim, the feeling you get the day after a Springsteen concert when you're just bouncing off the walls, this is how I feel today, you know. Just,
yeah, I hear you.
And one last thing, a big play that no one's talking about was late in the game, Caps have a lead. They come down in a 2-on-1, and Stahl just makes two amazing plays to break up two plays.
Yep.
And the idiots on NBC are talking about Ovechkin playing with somebody else's stick.
Right.
And then
he make the play on the 3-on-1?
Yeah,
after that?
It was a 3-on-1. Yep, exactly.
Well, there was both. And I think he broke up a 2-on-1 and a 3-on-1.
Yep. But then they come back from the commercial, and instead of showing that play, they show Ovi going to the bench to get a stick.
Yeah, because that's relevant.
It's just unbelievable, man. I mean, I was watching the Hockey Night in Canada feed today, and it's just such a superior broadcast. And if you could put those guys together with Maloney and Albert, it would just be something good because it just – I just don't understand how NBC could put together such a shitty broadcast. It's ridiculously pathetic.
I don't know.
Get no argument from me.
Bring back Howie Meeker. Bring back Howie Meeker and Peter Puck.
Yes. Peter Puck. Love Peter. Howie Meeker.
So speaking of Stephen Schiffer, him and I going to the game tomorrow in D.C.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah,
is
all
he feeling better?
I'm sorry?
Is he feeling better? I talked to him last night. He was pretty under the weather.
He's fine. I think he had a couple of sausage sandwiches. He feels much better. But, man, I mean, we went on Craigslist last night, and all the Capitol fans were, you know, the bandwagon is emptying out. There were tickets going there for $90 last night. We got really good seats for $150 for, like, seriously good seats.
Oh, that's great. Fantastic.
Yeah. So,
you going to take the train down?
No, I'm going to drive. We'll drive and then take a thing back up. Yeah, I think the last train leaves before the game ends, so I don't want to.
Wasn't there a Mario contingent at the viewing party? There were some people there that knew you, right, Jim? But I wasn't.
Yeah, Bill
I didn't
Morrison,
know until later.
Oh well, yeah, Bill
Morrison, I saw Bill
and Kevin Sartorius.
And Kevin also, yeah, I play hockey with Kevin.
Oh yeah, Kevin, that's right. Yeah, Kevin Sartorius.
Kevin won the bottle of Irish whiskey.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah, he was a lucky guy. Yeah.
He's touched.
Touched or touched in a golden touch.
Hey Jim, with that whole Uncle Fetcher thing you had going on before with the club, I thought you were going after the Boston Bruin fan demographic there for a while.
Oh.
So that's it, guys. See you at the parade or see you in Jersey.
Yeah.
And we definitely.
All right, Mario. Well, thanks for checking in with us.
Definitely need to close this out tomorrow. We got to close this out tomorrow. Just cannot go to 7.
Yeah,
I agree.
Exactly. I agree with that wholeheartedly. Mark Stoll had a great game last night. Even early on, he was taking chances, really trying to take the bull by the horns. And it was funny. It was kind of ironic that he wound up, you know, doing just that in overtime. It was one of the greatest Ranger victories ever.
Oh, you know,
one simple.
Two last things. The high stick call on Kreider was pure BS. Never hit the guy. Hit him with a glove. With that, what, 4 minutes left?
What about the call early on? Was it Haglund that got tagged for a penalty early on? Or Girardi?
It was Delzato when he took back-to-back penalties?
Yeah. Was that wasn't that fictitious, that first penalty? I mean,
on Delzato? No. No,
I'm thinking about... I'm thinking about the Haglund high stick in the third period where you hit him. That was ridiculous. And another thing, the amazing screen by Anisimov on the winning goal. Where has that been all year?
Yeah,
that's
really
true.
Yeah.
They did put guys in front of the net. That was another backs page epic. Said one of the maybe in the Daily News or the Post. Not sure. Epic. Certainly was that.
I think that was the Post.
Really, to post it and give Mitt Romney the credit for the win?
All right, let's not spill into... you should have you and Ron Gresham a debate here live.
I shot this thing for the Rangers a couple of weeks ago, and Gresham was the guy there, and it turns out he lives like 5 blocks from me. So hopefully he doesn't read any of my stuff on Facebook, or he's going to come knocking my fucking door down.
All right,
all
right,
Mario.
Thanks for calling in.
All right, guys. Thanks, man.
Talk to you soon. Bye.
And what is with these linesmen throwing guys out of the faceoffs constantly? I've never seen it.
I love the way the fans went crazy last night every time a cap got thrown out of the circle.
Yeah. The great Jay Beagle gets thrown out. People go crazy.
We're not going to beat the Caps. They have Jay Beagle. Oh, he's good on faceoffs.
All right.
They got good power play.
Okay.
16 minutes to go. 646-478-4692, the number. Holding the longest, 626. Thank you for holding. You're on Bouchard Underground Radio. Who's this?
Hey, guys. It's Megum.
Hi, Meg.
Oh, she calls in now.
Yeah.
Hey, you call out my goaltender in the chat. I gotta say something. So I'll make it quick. The Rangers just need to
get it. I get it. You'll make it quick. Very funny.
So the Rangers need to just, you know, finish off the Capitals tomorrow night. They need to get rid of the Devils as soon as possible because I cannot stand the Devils, and neither can the boyfriend. And then we need to get straight to the business of the day, which is Kings and Rangers in the Stanley Cup Final, so we can once and for all decide the question of who the ultimate goaltender is. It's not the ultimate fighting championship. It's the ultimate goaltending championship. I'll even buy the beer.
The ultimate male.
Well, no, Meg, I wasn't getting on Jonathan Quick. I was getting on what I'm hearing again. I always hear these rumblings from the so-called Ranger experts about the team that was supposed to be. And it's like, he's so unorthodox, Jonathan Quick. We can't solve him. And I'm not saying that. Jonathan Quick's a great goaltender. I mean, he's got a great season. There's no doubt about it.
Well, and the truth is he's not unorthodox at all. He's modeling his idol when he was learning as a goaltender, which was Mike Richter.
And so he's going to – he's not good at handling the puck? Is that what you're telling me?
No, actually, that's really not his forte. I'd really prefer that he stay in the crease and not handle the puck
at
all.
Same thing with Henrik. Every time a Henrik comes out of the net, I'm like, oh, my God. Don't touch the puck, Henrik.
Well, only especially after that – well, after that debacle in, what was it, game three, I guess it was, I about had heart failure. And I literally was just, all I could think of was who kidnapped Henrik Lundqvist and substituted him with somebody else. Because I don't know who that was. His brain just froze. It just froze. I've never seen him do anything like that before. I was stunned.
Well, I personally think, and you followed the Kings all year, so you're going to be our King expert if we get that far. Hopefully we both get that far. And wouldn't you say, you know, last time you were on, you had been telling me and Jim about how the Kings have really been struggling to score. Now, what went on so drastically different in this last series where they swept, that would indicate that anything's changed?
I have absolutely no idea. Honestly, I sat there most of the first two rounds, and I don't even know what team I was watching because it was not the team that I watched during the regular season. It really wasn't.
Yeah.
I think it's just a classic case of, you know, they fought all season long. It was one of those things I remember Jarrett Stahl saying at the beginning of the season, when he was bringing Mike Richards and doing all the, you know, he was kind of Mike Richards' tour guide of L.A. when we signed Richards over the summer. And I remember one of the comments that he made, which was, on paper, you know, this is fantastic and all that. I honestly just think it took the whole season for all the chemistry to really come together. And, of course, Richards had a concussion and missed either 10 or 15 games, I think it was. Doughty had a concussion and missed a few games. We had injuries to some other guys. And so, really, I think it's just a combination of gutting it out the whole season, very much like the Rangers had, and everything is just coming together at the right time. We've been lucky with everybody staying healthy, and the one common denominator is that Jonathan Quick has been Mr. Reliable in net. He's saved this team the whole season, and now he doesn't have to work quite as hard because they're returning the favor and playing the doors off of it in front of him. But it's amazing to watch, and I don't think anybody really has a great explanation. I think as much as anything, I point to Daryl Sutter, and it's preparation. You know, I've never seen this team come out not ready to play, and that was something that did not happen under Terry Murray. So I think Sutter deserves a lot of credit for it. But, I mean, obviously the players have done it. I just don't know how.
Okay, well, switching gears, well, not switching totally, but do you have any, I don't want to say ill feelings, but kind of like a nah to the guys that were involved in the trade to Philadelphia now that Philly's out, the Wade Simmons of the world, and I know Braden Schenn didn't play all that much for the Kings, but are you feeling good about that trade and maybe a little bit of I don't know. Like, I told you so. I don't know how you felt about the players' health before that, but anything
yeah,
like that going on?
I love both of those guys, but it's just a – first of all, I'm really happy for Wayne Simmons because I can tell you his last season here, the very first game of the season when they do a big production, make a big deal out of player announcements, and the guy that got the loudest applause in the building was Jonathan Quick. The only guy that came even close in terms of the sound of the applause was Wayne Simmons. He was a huge fan favorite. Everyone loved him here. And you know what? I begrudge that guy nothing. I am really happy that he, at least if he had to get traded somewhere, I'm really happy that he got traded to a team that is set up to leverage his talents. So I'm happy for both of those kids. You know, I think it's just one of those trades that it really ended up working well for both organizations. And, you know, the thing that I've learned as a hockey fan, I used to get, you know, very attached to players when I first became a hockey fan. And, you know, it's like, oh, my God, how can you trade this guy? And, you know, blah, blah, blah. And sometimes, even if it's a really great player, the move just needs to happen because it doesn't fit for the organization anymore. And it's absolutely not a criticism of the player or their ability. And I think anybody who's been a hockey fan long enough realizes that there are always going to be some of those trades where you lose a guy that you hate to get rid of, but it's an addition by subtraction. Now, you know, Jeff Johnson to Columbus in exchange for Jeff Carter, not a guy that I was sad to see go. I was never a Jack Johnson fan. So more power to him.
Now, enough of this Kings crap. Where do you think the Rangers are going next? Do you think the Rangers are going to close out this series?
I do think the Rangers are going to close out this series. I really do. You know, taking nothing away from how competitive the Capitals have been, I just don't think that they're going to be able to sustain it. I think, for lack of a better word, that Dale Hunter is out of his depth as a head coach in the NHL. I don't think there's a unified
feeling.
I don't think there's a unified feeling in that locker room that the players trust him. I think that Alex Ovechkin needs to have a C ripped off his chest as soon as their season is over, and they need to do a complete overhaul of that leadership group. You know, I like I said, I think they're hanging in and they're clawing to stick with it. But I really just don't feel that it's going to happen. I think that in the end, it's probably not going to be pretty. I don't think it's going to be fancy, and it's not going to be highlight reel style the way the Rangers win it. But, you know, it's a Tortorella team, right? It's a blue-collar, grind-it-down, you know, leverage the talent where you can type of team. But the Rangers' core game is not flashy. It's not high-scoring. It's not the stuff that you saw in the series between Philly and the Penguins. You know, it's more of a defensively based game. And the biggest opportunity that the Capitals had all year long is that they were not playing consistent defensive hockey. Bruce Boudreau was trying to get them to do it, and it wasn't working, which is exactly why I got fired. And basically, I think they just brought in Dale Hunter to, you know, try to instill the fear of God in everybody and try to get him to play along, because that locker room is not cohesive at all.
Very. I think you're right on the mark about everything about Dale Hunter and the way that group needs to be. It's for what he wants. He doesn't have the right players, and when you're a coach like that, it's hard to keep things going. And when you find yourself benching your best offensive player because you think he's a defensive liability, and got to play situational hockey like that, and don't have everybody on the same page, it's almost impossible.
I think part of the reason they brought him in is because they knew that he was probably the only coach that would have the balls to bench Ovechkin.
Right.
Like, to think about it. He's a rookie coach in the NHL. You know, if he's a washout, it's a one-season thing. He could leave and go back to the Ontario Hockey League. And frankly, if he ever tried to make another crack into the NHL, everybody would just write off his experience with the Capitals and say, well, how can you blame the guy? He got dragged into a really terrible situation. You got your superstar with his $13 million contract that won't behave, doesn't make hockey a priority. What the hell is the guy going to do? You know, so it's a no-lose situation for him. And I think to a point, George McPhee probably knew that. He needed somebody with a really strong personality who wasn't going to be afraid to knock Ovi around a little bit if he had to, and that's pretty much what it comes down to. They're button heads, and if there's something Dale Hunter's comfortable with, it's button heads with people.
That is the truth.
That's right. Well, that's a good, I'm telling you, that's some good stuff there.
Well, Meg, listen, we got to take one more call before we wrap this up. May all of your predictions about the Rangers be right. And then they'll get past the Devils and kick LA's ass, because that's
well,
what New York is good at.
We'll see about that. But if you guys manage to truck your butts out to LA, I'm buying the beer. So, you know, find a plane ticket.
Oh, wow.
Oh, I could drive it.
All right.
All right, Meg. Talk to you soon.
Take care, guys. Bye.
You too.
Take
Bye.
Care.
I like how Meg calls in and Paul doesn't.
I'll tell you, Meg got fabulous insights there.
Yeah.
Really. She's on the money.
All right. So we'll be back Thursday night with the Game 6 recap. Hopefully third round celebration.
Good for you.
Oh, good for you.
Good for you.
So, all right. Last call of the night, it looks like. 917-302. You're on Blue Shirt Underground Radio. Who's this?
Hey, Jim. It's Kevin.
Hey, Kevin. It's Jim.
From the banter?
I know.
Oh, okay. It's Ricky Short. I have a quick question for you guys.
Thanks for coming out on Saturday. It was great to meet you, by the way.
Oh, no
yeah,
problem.
Man.
Who is your Conn Smythe winner from the Rangers right now?
That's a good question.
I got to go with Brad Richards.
I wish you'd have called in about 15 minutes earlier.
Yeah,
that would have been a good.
This would have been a
chat room thing. Blomquist, I don't know. It's tough.
Man, I'll tell you, there's probably four choices maybe, and I don't think any of them are wrong.
Who are you going with your other two?
Well, who?
Stallman?
Lundqvist?
Callahan?
Callahan? Richards?
Frohman?
I would say from...
Would Stallman be that big a reach?
From now, it's got to be Brad Richards.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think any of them are a bad choice. Who's your silky choice?
I don't know. Frohman or Higgins?
No,
I'm
Roman
seriously.
Ender.
Roman Neuter.
Roman Neuter. yeah, Roman Ender. That's a great question. We should lead off if the Rangers win that game tomorrow, which they hopefully will. If everybody follows their rituals and stuff, we will win. But that is a great question because Callahan's been a catalyst, I think. In all but maybe one game where I thought, I think in that game four, he was not that noticeable. Lundqvist, could you win the way the Rangers win with any other goaltender other than maybe Jonathan Quick, the way they collapse around the net and let the other opponents shoot? Well, what's your answer? What would be your pick?
Mine is Richards going away. I mean... Besides game three against Ottawa, Henrik really hasn't stolen any games. The Rangers haven't relied on him to steal that game. And I think
that's a good point. He hasn't had like a 40-shot barrage where he saved the Rangers, but it's too early to tell, I guess. I mean, you know, but it's a good case for Brad Richards. He was the first one that I named.
I think that he's really stepped his game up from game six against Ottawa. Once he scored that power play goal, he's been earning his money.
Yeah, I agree. He's gotten a lot of money goals to the Rangers this year. I know. Chris DeMeade saying Hank stopped 53 shots in triple overtime.
But
like,
that's,
you know.
I mean...
That's six periods of hockey.
Stop what, 47?
Yeah. I mean, I like Chris and I like his entourage, but
I'm just saying. I don't know if that to me is not a point on Henrik's side. Listen, I love Hank. I'm, you know.
Yeah.
Hey, it's good that we have three choices. Usually we have none. Everybody sucks.
Good night, everybody.
So we got three. Good night, everybody.
All right.
That's a good question. Well, I mean, we'll pose that after we're in the semifinals.
There you go.
All right, guys.
See? All right, take care, brother, man. Thanks for calling in. Thanks for coming to the viewing party.
Yes, thanks, Kevin. Guys. It was good to meet you.
Yep.
All right. Good night, everybody. Let's go, Rangers.
Let's go, Rangers. Good night. We'll catch you on Facebook. We'll catch you on BluesHirtUnderground.com. We'll catch you when we're in the Eastern Conference Finals after tomorrow.
Good night.